Wow.
Oh, wow. You're so silly on your birthday, Greg.
Wow.
And you haven't even had any sugar yet.
Not really.
Have you?
Not much, no.
Not much.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Mm-hmm.
At least when I'm eating my Honey Nut Cheerios, I look at the label and it says, contains real honey.
And you like that little heart healthy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
As you're eating half the box.
It's so...
I know.
Such a bunch of...
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah,
good morning and welcome. Hour number three begins. 808 Time Check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Let's take a look and see what is stirring up, if anything, in the tropics. Whoa, what do we see here? Disturbance one. 70% chance of cyclone formation. Mm. But then within the body of the information, they kind of poo-poo it. Said if current trends continue, advisories could be initiated on a short-lived tropical depression or storm later today. However, environmental conditions are expected to become hostile, not to us,
okay,
to the storm itself.
Oh,
just
okay,
so you know that.
Gotcha.
No hostility toward us. And this thing is, you know, it is several hundred miles west-southwest of the Cabo Verde Islands, which means it's very, very far away. So I'm not going to worry about it, but I'll keep an eye out because that's what I do, because we were there for you then. We're here for you now. We've always been the station with the accurate storm forecast, especially when it comes to hurricane information. Sky Storm Watch, a service of Best Restoration, the Masters of Disasters, Radiant Credit Union, and Area Rug Masters. We are your hurricane storm center. Just think, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything to do with the sky, you just go to the sky.
Duh.
See?
Come on.
See how we did that years ago? Gun control support falls among likely U.S. voters. This is interesting from like a propaganda kind of standpoint. And what I mean by that is... guns are bad. Guns kill. You don't want guns. More guns. You own a gun, there's a bigger chance that it's going to be used against you. We've heard all the crap.
You hate children.
Yeah, we've heard all the crap. Okay? But finally, you know, the tide began to turn. And it was a few years ago when people started to realize, well, people like John Lott, you know, wrote books, More Guns, Less Crime. I mean, this guy's a PhD, put together the facts.
Yep.
And in cities where, you know, there was ease of restrictions and more people were gun owners, the crime level was very low. And so that was definitely a statistical, not an anomaly, but a statistical truth and trend. And so this is one where the left continue, and they still do to this day, try to brainwash you in thinking that gun control is something good. And finally, I think people understood the idea. The other thing is, at least among conservatives, they start to understand what the idea of the Second Amendment is truly all about. The left doesn't want you to think about that, but it's to protect you against a government that becomes overwhelming, overpowering.
Oh, no, you could have hunting rifles, Bob. You could have hunting rifles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what El Sayed says. Oh, I got family that hunt, but he wouldn't defend the Second Amendment at all.
Right.
Well, how can you? If you want a socialistic takeover kind of government, the easiest way to pull stuff over on the people is to make sure they're unarmed.
Absolutely.
They don't offer much resistance in
that
way.
Always the first thing they do.
If you don't believe me, ask the people in Iran. They wish they had a Second Amendment. I guarantee you that right now. So Rasmussen did a survey, shows gun control support fallen among likely U.S. voters, and 48% of likely U.S. voters believe the United States needs stricter gun control laws. That's down from just 2 years ago when it was at 51%. And even fewer, 46% say they would vote for a congressional candidate who promised to completely ban semi-automatic and assault-type weapons. You realize that your handguns, if it's not a revolver, is probably a semi-automatic in most cases.
Yeah.
So they'd be banning that, too, theoretically.
Well, they tried that during Obama's administration. They went down that road.
So, anyway, this is a good trend. This is a positive trend. This means people, fortunately, are becoming enlightened About guns, about the Second Amendment, and the fact that gun control is not an effective way to deal with gun crimes, and it never will be. So finally, people are waking up to that. Not everybody, but it's definitely a continuing trend, and I hope it continues that way. But you still have Democrats out there that'll still push for bans, push for gun control and all that. But as they began realizing it a few years back in what are now known as red states, before we really used that language heavily, finally candidates started to see that, hey, if I'm not on the side of the Second Amendment, my chances of winning are greatly diminished. So you've got that. All right. Bill Gates. Bill Gates arguing that AI needs to slow down to protect humanity.
What?
I'm shocked too. Bill Gates, the Microsoft co-founder and leftist billionaire who spent years on predicting that AI would free people from drudgery and speed cures for diseases and climate change, published an essay Wednesday warning that without urgent government intervention, AI could cause more harm than good. That coming from Bill Gates.
That's huge.
I wonder if he feels the same way about vaccines.
Dope!
Bill Gates transformed himself from a software tycoon into a leftist icon of environmentalism and healthy philanthropy. He's now published an essay calling for an AI slowdown. Just slow it down. Massive shift. He's called a tech evangelist, right? Huh. Singing the praises of technology. And now, and he built AI up. You're not going to have to work. You know, it was also Elon Musk that went along with that. He goes, people are only going to, in the future, people only work if they want to. Like, really?
No.
I mean, listen, there is something to this. And I have to be honest, I heard Glenn Beck talking about it and others. Right. And I'm trying to accumulate as much information as I can about these data centers.
Right.
And they're not nearly as harmful as I first initially thought. Most of the idea, the water consumption, the power things, they are being effectively addressed, I believe. The noise mitigation to some extent as well. The idea, though, is that these data centers are going to provide money into communities that otherwise might not have a lot of money. And that can really be a positive. Now, here's the problem. You know, that money, is it going to filter down to the locals, or is it going to just go in government coffers and, all of a sudden it's whatever the politician's flavor of the day and their pet projects gets all this funding and everybody else is kind of like not benefiting from it. So that needs to be addressed. So, if you want to slow it down to kind of take a look at that, that's not a bad idea. Gates went on to say, I am surprised to feel this way. I've never seen a problem that innovation can't solve. He grouped his worries into three categories: safety threats such as AI-enabled hacking, biological weapons and fraud, job losses driven by AI, and AI-powered robots. Also risks to children, including stunted learning and damaged human relationships. Writing software code and enabling new kinds of cyber attacks are the two areas where he says AI has recently outpaced his own expectations. Asked about the latter, he used one word: mind-blowing. We have problems with hacking now. We have problems in the fact that we don't have true redundancy as backups in a lot of our very, very important infrastructure items. That all needs to be addressed.
Because anything good used for good can be used for evil.
I've heard that before.
I think it's true.
Was that an episode of Superman or something?
I heard it somewhere,
Okay. 8:17 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. China keeps building islands, and Trump pays tribute. More on all of that coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Sun is shining. It's going to be a great one. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here celebrating his birthday. Congratulations, Greg.
Glad I made it to the next one.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Make it a good one.
I'm planning on it.
Okay. Did I mention it's 8:20 and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes? Well, there you go. Hey, a story that we talked about a couple days ago when the information was first coming out, that John Ratcliffe, the director of the CIA, was taking a secret, quote-unquote, trip, until it wasn't secret anymore, to Moscow. Uh-huh. And he, yeah, they tried to get a little sneaky. They stopped in Riga, Latvia, which is right there on the Baltic. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about it because my nephew works there. And so they stopped there and then took the military transport into Moscow. And we also, I guess, gave them a heads up, Ukraine, that is, and said, hey, don't be blowing stuff up in Moscow for a few days.
Yeah, don't hit our people.
You know, like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can probably figure it out because somebody high level might make a visit. So it was the worst kept secret in the history of clandestine operations. But now, the purpose of it, according to some, and some of this I got from CBS News, you know, the purpose is we're trying to talk Putin out of attacking a NATO country. He's already got his hands full. And I know sometimes, you know, crazy dictators don't always do, you know, what's expected or what makes sense. I get that that's part of what makes him a little kooky. But he is busy. Ukraine is that became a real molehill into a mountain kind of scenario. So it would make no sense.
No, he's got his hands full already.
And some are saying, well, maybe he just wants to test NATO, meaning will everybody react in NATO? Or will the dumb Europeans just sit on their hands like the idiots that they are when we were trying to deal with Iran?
Well,
you know, can't use our airstrip, can't use our airspace, stuff like that. It's like, you realize we're doing this just as much for you. You're within their missile range, you dummies.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway. So, but here's the interesting thing, all right? And Wall Street Journal is reporting on what I just previously talked about. Now, President Trump confirmed a visit to Moscow in an interview with our very own Glenn Beck. And this happened yesterday, and said that this trip was not related to Iran or to Russia's desire to test NATO.
Okay.
He called it a semi-routine trip for the most part. And he also mentioned that something may come out of Ratcliffe's visit, pointing to a push to end Russia's war with Ukraine.
Interesting.
The Kremlin spokesperson Peskov told reporters in Moscow that Ratcliffe spoke with Russian intelligence officials but didn't meet with President Putin. A lot of such scare stories are being published right now. Of course, they have nothing to do with reality, Peskov said, adding that Russia is facing a very aggressive policy toward itself from European countries. Recent American intelligence have indicated that Putin could be willing to authorize provocative actions on NATO territory, including cyber attacks, hybrid actions, and other operations that fall short of conventional military action. Taking a page out of the Chinese, asymmetrical warfare, right? CBS News reported earlier this month the likely goal would not necessarily be to trigger a war, but instead just to test NATO's unity. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh. We'll stay on top of that, of course. In a much more somber setting, President Donald Trump paid tribute to the 13 fallen service members killed in the Abbey Gate bombing 5 years ago on Wednesday during former President Joe Biden's botched Afghanistan withdrawal. And he took to Truth Social as well. He said, today we honor the 13 brave American heroes who were tragically killed 5 years ago by evil jihadi terrorists in Kabul, Afghanistan. This catastrophe was a result of sleepy Joe Biden's totally botched withdrawal from the country, which left our wonderful servicemen and women defenseless and allowed the Taliban to free thousands of bloodthirsty terrorists and criminals held at a Bagram prison. This was one of the greatest atrocities in the history of our nation, and we can never forget that it was the result of the sheer incompetence of Joe Biden and the Democrats who were in charge. Yeah. That we've talked about that at length for a long time, and I don't know if there's any valid defense of his actions. If there is, I haven't seen it. Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And Pete Hegseth, what's wrong with this guy?
I kind of like him.
I like him too, but well, Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, didn't like the Democrat out of Arizona.
Yeah, but we don't like Mark Kelly, so we don't really care.
Well, kind of. Yeah. I don't know him personally, but yeah, his policies and some of the things he says kind of rub me the wrong way.
Yeah, what's his deal?
Well, he doesn't like that. You know, Hegseth has this attitude that the U.S. military is all about killing people. He doesn't think it's healthy.
What does he think militaries do? I mean.
Well, I don't know.
They do. It's like Rush used to say, they break things and kill things.
I don't know. Maybe he wants them to give manis and petties.
No, that was the last administration.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where that confusion came from. Oh, yeah. My. Mark Kelly said, I think the Secretary of Defense has done the members of the military a big disservice by the way that he's been conducting himself in his job, getting on a stage, talking about killing people and lethality. And you know, the attitude from the top, it's not healthy for members of the military to hear this.
What?
Well, he comes, I think, from the school of thought is, hey, you should join the military, and you know, you'll get some benefits from it, maybe an education, maybe you could stay in it and then retire, whatever. But they never want to mention the fact that war may come.
Right.
And that your mettle could be tested directly, and you actually could be giving of your life for your country. See, the left to center folks, that's not a very prominent thought. They want, how can, you know, what's in it for me is more the attitude.
Yeah, but there's a reason we give the military things like tanks and bombs and guns and jets and ships. And it's not just for air shows, Kelly.
Break things, kill the enemy. Break things and kill the enemy. That's what our warriors are supposed to do. That's the mission. But Mark Kelly, he's a little squeamish. He wants to sell it in a softer way, I guess.
He's a little something, yeah.
Yeah. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here on his birthday, nonetheless, working hard.
Oh, yeah.
We've got your top stories and more. Nepal and Tibet, just awful, and the numbers keep rising with that flood there. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We'll call it 8:35. Happy, happy Thursday, and happy birthday to Greg.
Thank you.
Time to celebrate. Woo. Let's call it a day. What do you say?
Absolutely.
Let's go down and get some Waffle House grub or something good. My treat.
What?
If we could go right now, I would treat.
Oh, I see what you did there. If we could go right now.
Yeah. See those alligator arms? Just call me T-Rex, brother. Actor Tim Curry dies at 80. Greg idolized this guy when he played Dr. Frankenfurter on the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Actually, Greg, not only was he not allowed to go anyway because he grew up in a good home, but he actually didn't want to go.
Yeah, that might
so be. You're special. But so is Dr. Frankenfurter.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Can you imagine that? To Tim Curry, he had great acting throughout his life stage and the movies. But he will be, at least to this generation, best known for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So it is what it is. But he passed away at the age of 80. So what's this thing at 80?
I'm telling you.
Then you check out.
Glad I'm not there yet.
Could be some kind of euthanasia type program that we're not aware of.
What do the Chinese kids have to do with anything?
Probably a lot.
Okay, it could be.
Angie Nixon.
Oh,
I'm milking that chicken for all she's worth because she's going to lose in the, in the midterms. But
she'll give you plenty between now and then.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, she will.
Apparently, she said that giving unborn babies rights would be devastating. Okay. And she would move to defund pregnancy resource site. Can you imagine that? Unborn babies having rights she thinks would be devastating.
All right.
What is she worried about?
That's weird.
They can't register to vote for, you know, 18 years.
Don't give any ideas.
Yep. Democratic U.S. Senate candidate and State Representative Angie Nixon once warned that recognizing basic rights for an unborn child would be devastating, while also working to strip funding from a state-supported website that offers pregnancy and parenting resources to Florida mothers because it does not promote abortion.
Okay.
Now, isn't that sad? It is just sad.
So we got to keep babies from actually having the right to live is what we're talking about here.
I mean, that's what it boils down to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In a newly surfaced clip, Nixon expressed alarm at the prospect of Republicans advancing legislation that would treat a fetus as a person entitled to basic rights. There's a potential for Republicans to put it in a bill to make it so that a fetus is considered a person. That's going to be devastating. But I don't know if she ever went to explain how that would be. How would it be devastating?
How is an unborn child hurting you? I mean,
well, if you don't extend to it any rights, then it can be really offered no protection.
Right.
Doesn't an unborn child deserve some level of protection?
Needs the most protection.
Hmm.
Can't take care of itself yet.
Nixon, a Jacksonville Democrat, member of the Democratic Socialist of America, is the party's nominee in November election for U.S. Senate. Has long opposed Florida's pro-life laws. She voted against the state's six-week abortion limit and other measures protecting unborn children. She's also targeted Strong Florida Moms, a resource website launched by the Florida Department of Health and Department of Children and Families. The site describes itself as a place where you can access information about what to expect during pregnancy, and also about resources to obtain health care and answers to many of the questions Florida moms and dads have about parenting. It emphasizes support for pregnancy and motherhood consistent with the state's commitment to life. Nixon acknowledged that she actually worked against the initiative. It sounds as though this site we pushed back against in regards to them using more dollars. I actually did an amendment to try to carve that out. Yeah, they basically want to encourage people to not go through with abortions. So she's not even, doesn't even mince words. Like, yeah. Can you imagine being talked out of an abortion? How awful.
Wow.
I guess that's what she's talking about. That would be just terrible. Why? And, you know, it's one thing to have, like, choice, if you believe in that. You know, a woman should have some oversight and some choice up to a certain extent, whatever. That's one thing. But why would you actively work to defund organizations that are actually helping life?
So if... It's one thing to think that, okay, if I don't want to have this child, that's one thing. But to try to defund somebody who's trying to help someone make a good decision, that's just trashy. I'm sorry. That's just low. That's low class.
It's sad. But she has no business. And there's many other statements that she made that make me make the statement. She has no business being anywhere near the United States Senate.
No.
That just...
Well, because remember how you talk about sometimes the perception of those that are in that role, they're the more mature, the slower thinking, go through the process, make the good decision, and then you got a whack job like this wanting to get in.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, the House is where you get people with new and fresh ideas, not necessarily good ideas.
But ideas, yeah.
But, you know, some innovation or, hey, we haven't tried this or whatever. Yeah. That's what the House is all about, you know? It's like, it's supposed to be, if it's run properly, supposed to be like one giant, you know, idea generating, you know, brainstorm kind of a thing. Hey, here's the issues. What can we do to address them? You know, then they would send the bill to the Senate, and the Senate, like you say, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, the ones that have been around for a while. They're like, okay, all right, we've seen stuff similar to this before. Let's see what makes this different or could make it more effective. And say they deliberate on these things. And if they feel strongly enough and they pass it along to the president, where it would get passed or would be vetoed. And, yeah, the Senate, I mean, no matter what, there's only 100. That will never change. So that's an important position with a lot of power.
Yep.
And you want somebody who is, at the very least, somebody who is, has very good and sound reasoning skills. And if you lack those, that's probably not really a good fit.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying. And the GOP, the Florida Republicans, look, they've caught on to this, you know, what's going on here, and they want to make sure that voters know what you're voting for, that socialism is on the ballot. And with Jolly and Nixon on the ballot, they're reminding you that these are the kind of people that really want to change the direction. When you talk about the socialist and you look right at their platform that's on their website, they're not hiding anything.
Not anymore.
They want to destroy. They want to tear down. They're not builders.
Yeah.
They're just the opposite. I hope enough people are aware of that and vote accordingly. I can't understand people willingly unless they're listening to that song. Come swim with me. I'm a mermaid.
Yeah.
I will take care of all of your college education and everything else. Your health care will be free. It's all going to be wonderful and beautiful. And you realize that that's just an apparition.
Because there is a real world, I'm sorry to say, you know.
Like the sailors, they got lonely.
Yes,
they got lonely.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they saw things in the water and they thought, I am going to get with her. And I got to tell you. Old Miss Manatee, when you start to manhandle her, she'll slap you right back. She don't like that. And jump in the water. Well, you're just a little bigger and rounder than I thought you were. Okay. Big court case. Big. Details on that coming up. But right now on the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, let's talk to Scott. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you both. I just want to comment on this Nixon lady, the socialist. I just don't understand where our country is going to right now, how she would even get the opportunity to run for this, that you have people actually voting for her. People need to understand that free does not mean free. Everything costs something. And I just don't understand how these socialists are getting such ramped up and getting votes. I don't know what it says about our country anymore. It really is discouraging to see them actually rising the way they are. Thanks, Bob.
A wise man once said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is also big enough to take everything you have.
You know, we've been talking about off the air, just we hope that people are smart enough to look big picture. And in this election, especially with the gubernatorial thing, just because your guy maybe didn't get, you know, the nod, don't stay home and pout and, you know, take your toys and stay home. You got to get out.
We'll call
vote.
You a jolly lover.
Yes.
You love jolly. You're a jolly rancher. You're a goat roper.
All
or
that.
Something like that.
We'll come up with some new ones.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
You jolly ranchers.
Don't be stupid. Just don't be stupid.
And you can say that because it's your birthday.
Thank you.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Top stories to get to and the awful story of Tibet and Nepal and the massive flooding and loss of life going on there. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Happy, happy Thursday. It is also Greg's birthday. Happy birthday, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Terrible tragedy. Tibet, Nepal, massive flooding, mudslides. I mean, this thing is on a tremendous scale. And there are hundreds of people missing. They're saying that over 270, 300 people dead, confirmed dead already. And, man, they haven't even gotten really into doing some real digging and stuff. It is going to be, unfortunately, very nasty. Also, actor Tim Curry has passed away at the age of 80, best known for his Rocky Horror Picture Show and Dr. Frankenfurter, even though his acting career far surpassed that. But that tends to be what he is very well known for. Also, let's get an update in what's going on in the Middle East. Iran attacking another commercial ship in the Strait of Hormuz as President Trump sends a new warship to the Middle East. Also, Qatar's prime minister is expected to visit Tehran on Thursday on a diplomatic mission to de-escalate tensions between Iran and the U.S. You know, Qatar has always been really not friendly to us any more than they absolutely have to be. You know, it's always a little bit of a strain there. So this will be interesting that he is going to visit there, and I don't know what he will be able to do or say if he even wants Iran to give up. I mean, why would you even waste your time on that? They're not going to give up. But we'll see. A second commercial tanker in the Strait of Hormuz was struck with a projectile, causing a fire which has since been extinguished. That's according to the United Kingdom Maritime Trade Organization. And the USS Theodore Roosevelt Carrier Strike Group is expected to deploy to the Middle East in coming weeks for a deployment lasting at least 7 months. Crude oil hovering around $82. Now, that should mean the gas prices should be quite a bit lower than they are right now. They're hovering around $4, I think, nationwide. They should be less than that at $82 a barrel. So, yeah, we're getting taken advantage of, as usual, and it's very frustrating. The president told them a long time ago, the oil companies, hey, you know, knock it off. So, for now, it is what it is, as they say. Meta, the parent company of Instagram and Facebook, they've reached an incredible $18 billion settlement with 48 states, accusing the tech giant of knowingly causing harm to children. And parents blame their teen suicides on social media. They're, for the most part, you know, happy with this outcome or this settlement, I guess. Feels like vindication, said one whose daughter was 16 when she took her own life. And then they went on there and, you know, looked at her phone and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff on there that, you know, has to do with, like, self-harm and things like that and suicide. And I guess the idea is that once you start to search for these kinds of things, you're bombarded with information. You know, you look at a classic car, next thing I know, you know, every third ad is
right.
a classic car of some form or format or something like that. Well, and that's great because I don't necessarily get tired of looking at that. But if you Googled something about, you know, questions about suicide or something, and they're actually like explaining how it could be done type information.
That's just strange.
I mean, it just seems like that's an easy one for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you would simply, the social media company would just have a duty to say, you know, to put up a wall and say, if you're contemplating suicide, please call the National Suicide Hotline.
Right.
You know, and post the number there and make that pop up, you know, kind of on a regular basis. But it shouldn't serve an algorithm that is going to further promote and push information that is detrimental to the human being.
But here's the part where it doesn't know the difference between right and wrong because there's no conscience. It only knows what's being put in. So with everything else, if you're searching for something, you're looking for help, you want to know how to fix this, how to do this, well, guess what it's going to do? It's going to help you out, unfortunately.
Now, this settlement will put to an end the consolidated state cases that were brought by various attorneys general. Meta still has a lot of litigation ahead of it, largely in the form of several private cases brought by families of social media victims. And Florida, along with New Mexico, we did not settle. We were not part of this settlement and still have ongoing cases. And so what this settlement, where does that money go? I couldn't find it anywhere in the body of the article. In other words, is this divvied up between those who can say that they've been victimized?
Right. Or does it go to the state that brought the suit?
Seems like that. Mm. Well, that and attorneys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it really, if you could give it to the victims, would be the best idea. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? I've got a great idea for you coming up. And joining us, Charlie Delatorre from Our Town Magazine with a great idea for something you can do this weekend. Stick around. 97.3 The Sky.